This morning we are going to commence a new series, and those of you who are doing KYB, if you're a part of KYB, would you just indicate a greater majority? That's good. You have started a series in Philippians, is that right? I hope so. We're not going to do this all the time, but I thought for the next 7 or 8 weeks we will track with you in Sunday morning messages, and we'll look at the book of Philippians as well. You see, that's very exciting for you, and you're welcome. This morning, simply all I want to do... The source of joy. That's right. So this morning all I want to do really is look at probably the major theme. So now that it's up on the screen, shut your eyes, everyone. I know you've read the book. What would be the key word of Philippians? Joy? So in Philippians, the word joy, rejoice, happiness, gladness is found 14 or 15 times. It is the book of joy, and that is the major theme. And so that needs to be the overlay with which you approach the book as you look, whether it's KYB or whether it's Sunday mornings, it's the book of joy. So let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you that ultimately joy is found in knowing your Son Jesus. Thank you that we have encountered the living Lord Jesus, and our lives are not the same, have never been the same, and never will be the same. We thank you that you are the source of all joy, and may we be reminded of that simple fact this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's read from verse 1 down to verse 11 of Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Just aside, when we were in Maryborough, there were three ladies called Joy. Just thought I'd mention that. And there was one called Joyce. Because of all your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God the Father. I've titled this first part, Looking for Joy in All the Wrong Places. And my question this morning, and what I want us to discover a little bit together, is where it is that we find joy. And it's not in technology, I can tell you. Here we go. So I thought I'd put up, just as a bit of a teaser, this quote from, do you know where it's from? Let me tell you. The US Declaration of Independence. And in that document, there is a statement that says, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So evidently, life and liberty are guaranteed. The pursuit of happiness, good luck with that, you're on your own. And my apologies for needing to use this particular document and refer to that country. However, the formation of our nation is a little less auspicious, ostentatious, however you want to say. Basically, Our country is a social experiment in what happens when you put a whole bunch of convicts on a ship, take them to a strange land, tell them to carve bricks out of rocks, and if they're really good, they can get to graze cattle and grow wheat, right? So, and if you look in the preamble to the Australian Constitution, there's nothing like life, liberty and the pursuit of happiness. It starts with the word whereas. And just so that you know, any document that starts with the word whereas is going to be incredibly boring and tedious. I know, because I read it last night, okay? Take my word for it. So where do we look for joy and happiness? The truth is, our culture, our society, mirrors that of the United States. And so the question is, if we're about joy, and if this letter to the Philippians is about joy, where then do we find it? And I want to suggest to you that our culture at large finds it in two particular ways and directions. The first is culture itself. So our culture tells us that we can be happy. One of the ways that our culture tells us we can be happy is via positive thinking. And the speaking circuit these days is crammed full of men and women who will tell you that the source of joy actually is in the mind, and you can talk yourself, you can speak yourself, you can talk yourself into a state of joy and happiness. And you can pay them $200, and by the by, they're very happy, right? They're very happy with your fee. And money doesn't buy happiness, but it does make misery a whole lot easier to suffer, right? So positive thinking is one of the ways that our culture tells us that we can become happy. Now, how many of you, here's an experiment, how many of you got up this morning and thought, you're probably all going to put your hand up, I know, what a beautiful day this is. What a wonderful wife or husband I have. What blessed kids I have. What a scrumptious breakfast awaits me. What a congenial boss I have. Or did you just scrape your way here this morning like me, right? So that's one of the ways that our culture tells us that we can be happy and find the source of joy. The other is in processes. And so when you go to the bookshop, the bookstore, there will be seven ways to find success. Four steps to happiness. I found this one on the internet. 759 ways to live the perfect life. Now, I'll just put it out there. 759, that's a lot to remember, isn't it? The Old Testament only had 600 commandments. And again, I'll put it out there. I think the word perfect is a slight overstatement, right? What you can't see in the fine print, and I love this, it's Dane Cook, and he says, his article in this magazine is this, The Slacker's Guide to Building Your Empire. I'm just guessing, but I reckon most men are going to jump over the 759 ways and they're going to go straight to Dane Cook's article on The Slacker's Guide to Building Your Empire. I know I would. Third one is possessions. We find, or we think that we can find joy in the things that we own. And look, that lady looks pretty joyful. Sort of. Well, hey, have you seen some of the catwalk models? They don't look. So in comparison to the fashion catwalk models, she's quite joyful. So ladies, would that make you happy? Earrings and necklace, a bit of bling. And what you don't see in this picture is the boyfriend on the side, and he's curled up in the fetal position wondering how he's going to pay for all of this stuff, right? Places. Maui. If possessions aren't going to make you happy, if processes don't work, then maybe you can go to a new place. Maui. They look pretty happy, right? What you don't know is that they've maxed out their credit card to get there, and they're going to be in a world of financial pain when they come home. But momentarily, they found the source of joy in Maui. But if Maui doesn't work for you, you can go to Maryborough and you can live in Cheapside Street. The second place that people attempt to find joy, if it's not in culture, and sometimes it's both, it's in religion. Pop psychology with a God inference. This probably sums up perhaps what is most commonly regarded as spirituality in our culture today. Just a God inference. I met someone the other day in, someone came into the Centrelink office and I was trying to work out where he was spiritually, because he said to me, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am. I'm the pastor of the church," and that usually shuts the conversation right down. But he said, "Well, you know, I used to be a Christian. Actually, I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Actually, I used to be. And at the end of it, I couldn't work out what he was or where he was going, but he did say he would come here. He's not here today. Spiritualism with no reference to God, which is largely brokered by celebrities. So here's a few quotes. Dennis Quaid, the actor Dennis Quaid, finds his spirituality in golf. "I've played a lot of golf, and it's anything but a spiritual experience." But, you know, for some of you, that may be where it is. Nick Nolte, "My garden is so evolved. Thanks for sharing, Nick. That's really helpful." Actually, what he's saying, I think, is that he finds a sense of peace and centeredness in the garden. And I would concede that maybe many of us actually experience the presence of God in our garden. And there's a difference there. When you look at your garden and you see how intricate and beautiful it is, and you give praise to the one who made it, that's a different matter. Madonna, "I don't care if people worship turtles or frogs. If they're good people, it's all I care." And here's the all-time classic, Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton wrote 7 spiritual lessons, and it was in a magazine called Precognito. Can I say to you that you are officially in a bad place spiritually when you've got to get down on your knees and call out, "Paris, help me!" Right? Can she even count to 7? I don't know. If we're going to critique culture, and if we're going to critique religion, then we must critique the church. Prosperity-driven Christian teaching and practice, all in the name of finding joy and happiness. So you can be wealthy, you can be perfectly healthy, you can be completely free from anxiety, you can live in total harmony in all relationships, and you can never be victimized or treated unjustly. Now, statistically, the most listened to preachers, TV and otherwise, are the preachers that preach that. Statistically. So what we need to do is we need to critique that for a moment and say, really, is that where happiness and joy is? Because if you believe that, then immediately you exclude Jesus. Was Jesus wealthy? No. Was Jesus poor? Yes. Was Jesus anxious? He once sweated drops of blood. Yes. Was Jesus' life completely free of conflict and in total harmony with those around him? No. He had 12 disciples, right? And we kind of know those characters. He had a family who thought that he was crazy. The Pharisees hated him. And ultimately the public cried out, "Crucify him." Whatever definition of joy you have, it has to be big enough to include God, right? And so we must critique what the church is saying about joy and happiness as well. So how is our pursuit of happiness and joy going? Are we finding it in culture? Are we finding it in religion? Are we finding it in popular Christianity? Statistics tell us that in our culture, in our society, 1 in 3 people are experiencing significant stress, and many of those are actually taking medication for that. Now, that's not to be critical of people who are depressed and needing to take medication for depression. You know where I stand on that. But I don't think in that summary that we've actually found the source of joy. And here's the reason why. We hang our hopes on someone or something. We think someone or something is going to be the source of our joy. We do. We just do. We get that something or someone and dot, dot, dot. I'll leave that hanging. We discover that that something or that someone is not actually the source of joy. Have you ever experienced that? You bought a new car, it gets dirty, some wingnut drives into it, it gets pranged, and it's no longer the source of your joy, is it? You meet that special someone who you think is going to be the source of your joy and you marry them and you discover in the process that they are a sinful person just like you're a sinful person. And you expected that they would do everything for you and surprise, surprise, they expected the same. And what you have is a clash of two sinful people and you discover, don't you, that that person is not the source of your joy. You're only saying that because you are a long way away from your wife. Right? You get some courage about you. You come down here and say that. You have a baby because you think having a child is going to be the source of joy, right? Then you find out that that baby is actually a human sprinkler. And fluid comes out from every opening in its body. Now, I have three children and I love all of my kids, always have, always will. But if you're expecting to find the source of joy in having children, you are sorely wrong. The reality is this, and Soren Kierkegaard, the great philosopher, said, we actually tend to be miserable people. And what he meant by that is that we have a predisposition to being miserable, and then what we do is we buy something, we go somewhere, we meet someone, and all of those things act as a medication against our misery. And his suggestion is this, and try this at home. You know, often you hear me say, don't try this, but try this at home. Just sit for a moment in a room by yourself and contemplate how miserable really you are. Because what he is saying is this, we never ever get to the heart of our misery. We either are medicated against it or we self-medicate, and we never ever really realise just how miserable we are. And what he is saying, of course, in the background is that we are fallen people. We are a fallen people. And with the fall comes a natural tendency towards misery and pain and anguish. And he is saying that at some point in our life we must wrestle with this reality that in our natural state we are a miserable people. Now, he wasn't very popular. Not many people crowded in to listen to him, right? But he's saying we must wrestle with the fact that we have a tendency towards darkness in the depth of our soul. So we don't find joy in culture. We don't find joy in religion. We don't find joy in popular Christianity. Where do we find joy? Well, listen again to the first verse of Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ, to all the saints in Christ. If Paul was standing here this morning, he would say to us, friends, joy is not found in culture, in possessions, in places. It is not found in popular religion or popular Christianity. True joy is found in Christ. It's found in Jesus. Now, Paul's journey is this. Paul was a murderer of the church. And then Paul has this encounter with the living Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And from that point on, he is a completely changed man. He then becomes a pastor of the church of Jesus. He becomes a contender for the faith. What is the difference? He has this encounter whereby he is in Christ. And so Paul's main prepositional proposition, do you like that? It took me a long time to think of that, is this: I am in Christ. He says if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Paul is saying joy is found, not out there, but it's found in Christ. And we'll discover this, that in Christ, Paul finds joy in humility. He finds joy in suffering. He finds joy in conflict. He finds joy in poverty. He finds joy in beatings. And ultimately, friends, he finds joy in death. Here is a man who has discovered the source of joy, and it's found in Christ. And we're going to unpack that a little bit more in the weeks to come. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we are your children, sons and daughters, and we are in Christ. That our faith is not false. Our faith is not something that we just add on to the rest of the routine of our life. That our lives are totally immersed in the person and the power of Jesus Christ. And from that place of centeredness and groundedness, we can find joy in all things. Not because of positive thinking, not because of what we own, but because of the life that we live out of being in Christ. And I pray that in the weeks to come, as we wrestle with this particular book, as we look at the theme of joy, that we would truly become more and more that people of joy in all circumstances to the glory of God our Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.